of Hypocritical Faith, Part 16, The Lost Souls of Black Folk and White Folk, Part 45. You say, well, preacher, how long are you going to preach on it? I'm going to preach on it until your wicked, hard, evil heart is broken to smithereens. Because God has made it clear that he can use his word like a hammer to break the rock, the hard rock of your heart, in pieces. And I'm encouraged tonight because I see it happening, not only here, but in other places. God is breaking the band of wickedness in the hearts and minds and souls of people. And those people who are unwilling to repent of their sins, God is making it very clear to them that that's what they should do. Isaiah chapter 1, I have read this wonderful, powerful, convicting chapter in your hearing multiple times, but I will pick up reading. I do want to read one verse at the top and then go to where I'm going to go tonight. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 1 and verse 2. The vision of Isaiah, the son of Amos, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord hath spoken. And what did the Lord say? I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. And that is the crux of the matter. God has been very good to us, especially for those of us born and raised in America. Face this way in the back. God has been very good to black folk and white folk in America. God's been good to a lot of folks, but I assure you that God has raised up some folk in America who claim to be Christians, believers in Christ. God has been very good to us. Don't tell me he hasn't. I just left HEB. Don't tell me he hasn't. We were in Walmart recently. Don't tell me God has not been good to America. But I believe God feels about those of us, black folk and white folk and other folk in this country, how he felt about his chosen people when he said, Hear, O heaven, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord hath spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. And then I want to pick up reading from the Word of God. Verse 16. Wash you, rebellious children. Make you clean, rebellious children. Put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. God cannot help but see everything. He's God. He knows what you're doing in the black and dark night. He knows what you're doing in the closet, you devil. And he knows who you're doing it with. You can hide it from some of the people some of the time, but you cannot hide it from God at all, any of the time. Please mark that, and please take note of that. Learn to do well. Stop doing evil and learn to do well. Do the right thing. If you are a stubborn, proud, rebellious wife, and you're hateful towards your husband, hateful towards your children as a mother, stop being an evil woman and learn to be a good woman. If you are a mean and hateful husband and father, and you don't love your wife and your children, and you're stepping out on them, and got another family over yonder, or whatever, cease doing evil and learn to do well. Seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow. Come now, God says, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing, amen, somebody. Amen, somebody. For here's the crux of the matter right here. If ye be willing and obedient, you can be willing, but if you're not obedient, we still have a problem on our hands. Ye shall eat the good of the land, but if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Holy Father God, we already are in your presence at your throne of grace. I sense it like I have never sensed it before. Lord, I thank you for what you have done. I thank you for what you're doing. I thank you for what you will do. The devil is very mad, and I'm very glad. I thank you for bringing us a mighty long way, not only in life and on our Christian journey, but in this series. For I sense a breaking point. I'm seeing it in other places and here. A liberty and a freedom to proclaim the truth and let the chips fall where they may. Where some will repent and change and reap the benefits, and some will decide not to go that route and will suffer the consequences and be devoured. And so be it. They have heard the truth. And so, Holy Father God, I pray for everyone, even though everyone will not pray this way. We individually, and we should collectively, confess our sins, our failures, and our faults unto you. But not only that, Lord, we need to repent of our sins. We need to turn away from our sins, our evil ways, our foolishness, our lies that we live, our dishonesty with fake families, fake churches, and fake news. All of it, Lord, needs to be cast back into hell where it came from, of hypocritical faith. And Lord, if we're sick and tired of it as wicked, sinful human beings, Lord, we know you're sick and tired of it. People masquerading as Brady Bunch families when they are in truth the Adams family, making the church a theater of hypocrisy, phoniness, insincerity, nobody keeping it real, and we're wondering why the young people, so-called millennials, the X generation, or whatever they call themselves today, is running away from the church, or are running away from the church. Many of them have never been in church, even though they were on the church grounds. but by their own confession. They're sick of going to church because they're sick of the hypocrisy. And in their words, people not being real. People like their parents who have terrible marriages but won't admit it. Masquerading before the world and the church folks like they are so much in love, but they're full of hell and dead men's bones. They're liars and living a lie. These millennials know about the girlfriends and the boyfriends that their parents have, and yet they hear from these hypocrites how they ought not to have a girlfriend or boyfriend when they have no moral ground to speak. And we wonder why we have the mess, the volcano spewing up mess in the church. And we have lying puppet pastors who are repeating what other puppet pastors say, saying peace, peace, when there is no peace. There's just no peace, man. No peace. Nobody's being real. Nobody's being honest. And if the Israelites back then were this bad, where are we? We are far worse as distant Gentiles from the cross in the early church and from the Israelites. So Lord, help us to learn from their failures and their sins, and help us to be real about it. Help us, Lord, to turn from our evil, wicked ways permanently. As I mentioned to someone today, is not about the little one week, 2 weeks, a month doing the right thing, and then all of a sudden midstream changing back to the same wicked, evil way. For this is the strategy of Satan. This is the strategy of the Antichrist. The devil specializes in this foolishness. The Antichrist will do the same, giving off angelic appearances for 3 years, 3.5 years, and then revealing the monster that he is for the last 3.5 years, which you said will be tribulation like the world has never seen. Hell on earth. So Lord, we pray that as true believers in Christ, for those of us who are the remnant, Lord, help us to follow you and not the Antichrist and the spirit of the Antichrist and the devil. Help us to repent permanently. And let those go who want to follow the Antichrist and the spirit of the Antichrist and the devil. And the quicker the better. As you, Lord Jesus, told Judas, what thou doest, do quickly. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, in a recent op-ed, and we're moving in this direction even though we have some unfinished business, for USA Today, David Curry, president of the Persecution Aid Organization, Open Doors USA, said the leadership of the American church, so-called leadership, with its super pastors and mega churches, is whistling through the graveyard. The beast that we have created, which relies on upbeat music and positivity, and this is a movement, by the way, called positivity. I met a young lady who is one of the leaders of the positivity movement. and quite honestly, and a beautiful young lady who forces herself to smile. She says, "Lift your head up back there. I can't hear you." Who forces herself to smile, she says, because she believes that smiling will make her feel positive. And this is a movement. I didn't think that this, we all heard about positive thinking in the past. Dr. Norman Peale. But this is a movement among millennials and a movement among liberals and a movement among homosexuals now. Some who call themselves unicorns. Positivity movement. And it has seeped into the church. That's why I'm bringing it up. I didn't know it even existed. But it's a big deal online. And quite honestly, because I'm saved and filled with the Holy Spirit of God, I was disgusted with it. It stinks to low hell. But anyway, positivity. Here, you know, this fake grinning, sexy teeth movement. To attract donors, he says, to sustain large budgets. Leaves little room for pastors to talk about the suffering of global Christians, not to mention sin, not to mention adultery, fornication happening in the church, abortion happening in the church, and in so-called Christian leaders' families, but yet they go and march once a year, even though their daughter just had an abortion, lying hypocrites. Like most of the culture, the American culture, the American church is more concerned about college entrance scandals and Game of Doggone Thrones. Another thing I find disgusting, Christians all caught up in that demonic garbage, then persecution. The persecution of the Christians, inoculated by entertainment and self-absorption, they are completely detached from the experience of the global church. And I have told you in the past, and I'm going to interject this again, true Christianity is not the American way, contrary to those who try to make it seem that way. It is not. And the American way is not true Christianity. I'm sorry. And yes, I'm a patriot. I'm patriotic. I love my country. I thank God for my country. But the American way is not God's way. And please do not get it twisted. And God's way is not the American way. But he goes on to say the American church is feeding itself to death while the worldwide church is being starved to death and murdered. End of quote. And so, ladies and gentlemen, Curry's words point out just one of the sins that we in the American church, just one of the sins that we need to repent of. For God commands in this passage to seek judgment and relieve the oppressed. If we are going to relieve anybody who's oppressed, we ought to at least relieve our brothers and sisters in Christ. Yet most of us in the prosperous West and the prosperity churches show a tremendous lack of concern about the suffering of those who are supposed to be our brothers and sisters in Christ, and we all know it's true. We all know it's true. If you would bring the children back into the church, we would have more of a concern for our brothers and sisters in Christ in the so-called third world. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? Well, you know, most of our children are out on the playground or down at a playground in front of the church or doing something with Pastor Pirate or some other Awanas thing or whatever instead of being in church. But if you brought them in the church and raised them up in the church as the old saints used to do, they would have more of a concern for missions than the older saints. I cannot explain that to you, but it is true. And they're more concerned about the persecuted and the down and out and the oppressed than the older heads in the church. Maybe it's just God's way of keeping the fire burning in the church by bringing the young folk who have pure hearts, innocent hearts, the kind of hearts that God, Jesus tells us we ought to have, childlike faith. Without true repentance, there is no need for us to come into the Lord's presence. And now we're picking up where we left off last night. And by the grace of God, if the Lord says the same, I'll wrap it up tonight. In fact, it is dangerous spiritually and physically for us to be that way, not being real about our sins, thinking that somehow God is going to wink at it. He is not, never has. Many people assume that the reason why Ananias and Sapphira were killed when they came into the Lord's presence was simply because they had sold their land for a certain amount and brought less than that amount to the church, pretending that they were giving the whole amount. And yes, we Baptist preachers have scared the daylights out of people to give, using Ananias and Sapphira. Thousands of dollars have been raised that way, millions maybe. But if we look at the passage in its context, we will see that the root cause of their sin is hypocrisy, not keeping it real, as the young people say today. When they heard about Barnabas and the other saints who sold their land and property and brought the proceeds, all of the proceeds, to the church, causing much rejoicing and much benefit for poor believers and widows, they coveted that for themselves. They wanted to be seen as benefactors in the local body, big shots. However, they were hypocritical, setting themselves up to be seen as something they were not. But God knew about it. And God told Peter. And they carried their bodies out, messing with God, playing games. Man, if you're not going to be a true Christian, don't even be in it. Just go head on and go your way. Don't play games with God, man. God is nobody to play with. Like the Jewish religious leaders that Jesus so often rebuked, they wanted the praise of man, but not the substance of truth. It wasn't real. They came into the house of God trying to portray themselves as saintly. And we got some in the church like that today. Saintly, innocent, transforming themselves into an angel of light. Got people fooled. But they don't have God fooled, and they don't have their spouse fooled. They came into the house of God trying to portray themselves as saintly and charitable givers when their hearts were deceitful and corrupt, and they wanted the praise of man and the praise of woman. Oh, look at so-and-so. Look what they did for the kingdom of God. It's just like the so-called saints we have today, twitching down to the altar, running down to the altar with a white envelope with a dolly in it, trying to make people think they're giving hundreds of dollars. And some of them are dead with their hypocrisy. Just sit down somewhere and give in secret like God told you. Don't let your right hand know what your left hand is doing, or vice versa. They appeared clean on the outside, like the Pharisees and Sadducees, but had not been washed and clean on the inside. And that's what God looks at, my dear friends. And I pray that God will give you discernment, because a whole lot of folk are doing this today. They look good on the outside, and they spend a whole lot of time on the outside. And they cut their bodies. They get sexy teeth. They go and get fat frozen off or melted off. They get nipped and tucked. And they look great on the outside. But on the inside, they're dead men's bones. And some are very gifted. Some have charisma. But when you get to know them, you realize you're dealing with a liar, a phony, a hypocrite, a cheat. A person who's a Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde devil. And I'm here to, and that's why we have so many divorces. Because people get sucked into the beauty, into the exterior, and come to find out these people are natural born hypocrites. And not only are they ugly on the inside, but many are devilish. When John the Baptist was ministering before Jesus' first public activity, he preached what the Bible calls the baptism of repentance. John could not make people repent. He could not make people turn their lives around any more than he could make someone get in the water to be baptized. And this is a crucial point. The man of God cannot make you repent. God won't even make you repent. But you should repent. It behooves you to repent. Because God blesses people who confess their sins and repent of their sins. And it's a great way of life. But you got to be real. The people had to choose to get in the water of their own accord. How about it, dear Christian friend? Are you willing to get in the water? Are you willing to truly confess your sins and be baptized, if you will, with this baptism of repentance that changes your life from the inside out with the help of the fear of God and reverence of God and the respect of God. that because that right there, with God's grace and His Holy Spirit and the Word of God and prayer, that fear of God, that respect of God, that reverence of God, my dear friend, will help you not only to repent, but to change permanently. And you will say, with one great preacher, I bet you I will not do that again. No. Is there no chance? I'm not going to do that. Oh, yes. God can help you get that way. Where you're just not going to do that again. You're not going to go that route because you know that God's going to deal with you. He is. How does God deal with us? He takes away our blessings. Oh, yes. He's not going to bless you, man. Woman, listen to me very carefully. If you like to be blessed and you like to live the blessed life, I cannot explain all of it to you, but it's good. It's good. It's good that the blessed life, the God-blessed life, is a good thing. It's a wonderful thing. I can't give you all the details, but it's good. It's downright great. But the flip side of that, the unblessed life, is hell. And oceans of hell will meet you. Waves and waves of hell will meet you every day of your life. When God starts snatching away those blessings. And I'm talking about blessings like favor in the sight of people who don't even know you. You just show up and they show out. I can't get many amens tonight. Oh, yes. Listen to me. I can't explain that to you. I don't have the time, man. I don't have the time to explain favor to you, man. It'd take me too long. All I know is you better have it. If you want to make it in this life, my dear friend, with God's blessings, man, you better do it God's way. You don't have to. Hey. Just a few things you need to do. You have to do. Stay black or stay white and die. And pay taxes. That's all you got to do, man. God ain't trying to make you do nothing. But if you want to be blessed, this is what you better do. Confess your sins. Stop your stubborn ways. Stop being a rebellious devil. Stop being pharaohistically proud where you can't, you won't hear anybody. You won't listen to anybody. You won't submit. You won't surrender like I'm getting ready to sing in a few minutes. I surrender all. Well, you don't sing it if you don't mean it, baby. Don't sing it. Don't you lift your voice and sing that if you don't mean it. See, that's why the churches stopped singing I surrender all. They don't sing that anymore. Have you heard it lately? No, they don't sing that anymore. They used to sing it back in the late 70s, and we used to wear it out, man, every service, man. We don't hear that in the church anymore. I surrender all. You don't have to, though. Go ahead and be the devil you want to be. Do your thing. Do you. As one rapper put it, go ahead on, and we'll watch you self-destruct. And you'll be on the trash heap of history with a bunch of other failures and disobedient, rebellious people who would not listen to the word of God. God does not want you to go there, but you can. You can go, baby, if you want to go. Go right ahead. I'd rather go God-blessed route. Where you trust God, you love God, you fear God, you obey God, and you are faithful to God, and God just blesses you with all kinds of favor and blessings that's coming out of the woodwork. You ain't even trying. God's blessing you while you sleep. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? I was in a Walmart recently to go pick up some vitamins. I was in the area. Now, I have not thought about taking any kind of sleeping pills or any kind of melatonin or nothing like that since I've been saved 40 years. I've never had a problem going to sleep. I can go to sleep on a rock like Jacob. But I noticed that a whole section was given over to sleeping aids, melatonin and stuff, like whole section. I said, what in the world now? Now I know about this stuff because I learned about it when I got saved many years ago from the health food stores. But I've never had any need for sleeping stuff. But evidently thousands do have a need for this. You know why? Because they're not blessed of the Lord. See, God blesses his people who are obedient to him with sleep. I don't give a flip what's going on in the world. Danny B can lay down. He can lean back in his chair and Danny B be gone. I don't know anything until I wake up. And I start praising the Lord while I'm getting out of bed. Glory be to God, I'm still here. Amen. Are you kidding me? Anyway, I must move on if I want to finish this message tonight. On top of that, John told them to bring forth fruits meet for repentance. Amen, somebody. Amen, lights. Amen, lights. Amen, lights. Thank God for you. Bring forth fruits meet for repentance. And that's what God is looking for. Real repentance. Bringing forth fruit. See, what is God talking about here? That once you repent, there ought to be some fruit. I know of a lady who confessed her sins and so-called repentant in the body, out of the body, I cannot tell. But she didn't repent. Why? Because there's no fruit. No fruit. No fruit, my friend. You said, preach, you ought not to talk about that. Preach, you ought not to say, I said it and I mean it. There's no fruit. See, when God breaks you down and God humbles you down and God works on you in your heart of hearts and you repent and you change and you have the proper fear, respect, and reverence of God, there'll be some fruit. And one of the things, one of those fruits will be, you'll be saying stuff like, no, I tell you what, with joy, I bet you I won't do that again. Oh, no, you can bank on that. Yeah, no. By the grace of God, with God's help, he's taught me well. God took me to the woodshed. I understand him now. I will not be doing that again. I've learned my lesson. Amen, lights. So in other words, beloved, getting in the water was not enough. Getting in the water was symbolic. The people had to come to the water intent on repenting, because John the Baptist was not playing. Another preacher who understood the power of preaching and not going to try to find a crowd and hustling meetings. That's so pitiful. Preachers around hustling meetings. Talking about, I'm going to be in town. Here's my card. To do what? Good. Get you a travel advisor map and go to the mall or something. You don't need to be trying to hustle meetings at my church, man. John the Baptist just went out into the wilderness to start preaching, and God brought the people down to him. Why? Because there's power in the preached word. The people had to come to the water intent on repenting. And they had to leave the water determined to act in a way that demonstrated their repentance by the grace of God and by the power of God. That is what God is telling Israel, and yes, the church today, to do in this passage. Where is the fruit? Show me, no, not the money, show me the fruit. For we, Jesus said, will know them by their fruits. How can you call yourself a child of God and you're still living in sin. And you don't have any joy. You don't have any fruit. You don't have any peace. You don't have any love in your heart. You can't even crack a smile, can't show any cheer. And yet you call yourself a child of God. There's something wrong somewhere. Either you truly have not repented, or you're not truly saved. There's something wrong with all of these sad Christians. All of these depressed Christians. Either you're in sin and you have refused to repent, or you have never been born again. You have been slipped a Mickey. He is saying, don't take a shower and go play in the mud again. He told the woman accused of adultery, go and sin no more. Take a shower, if you will, and live a clean life by the grace of God. And don't stink anymore. Leave it behind. At some point, if you are a child of God, you're going to confess your sins and you're going to repent. And you're going to turn from your evil ways. At the chastening hand of God, or God will take you home early. Don't play with God. God is extremely loving. But as the old saints used to say, the will of God grinds slow. But it grinds show. Don't play with God, people, just because he's so loving and so kind and so long-suffering. Don't try to take advantage of God. Don't try to play God, man. You're not that great of a player. Don't try to play God, man. Go ahead. If you're a child of God, go ahead and humble yourself. Turn from your evil ways. Repent. And change. And what will help you to stay changed is to pray without ceasing. Don't give space to the devil. Charles Wesley said many years ago, weary of wandering from my God, and now made willing to return, I hear and bow me to the rod, for thee, not without hope, I mourn. I have an advocate above, a friend before the throne of love. O Jesus, full of truth and grace, more full of grace than I of sin, yet once again I seek thy face. Open thine arms and take me in, and freely my backslidings heal. And love the faithless sinner still. The stone to flesh again convert, the veil of sin again remove, sprinkle thy blood upon my heart, and melt it by thy dying love. This rebel heart by love subdue, and make it soft, and make it new. Let's stand for prayer. And before we pray, here's three takeaways for you tonight, dear Christian friend. And you don't have to do it. That's the liberty and freedom that God gives us as free moral agents. But you should do it. It behooves you to do it. If you want to live the God-blessed life, and I'm here to tell you, it's a great life to live, man. It's wonderful. Number one, confess and repent of your own sins. You already know what they are. Number two, pray for your brothers and sisters in Christ to repent of their sins. That includes your family members, and get back to their first love, and you get back to your first love with them. His name is Jesus Christ. Number three, pray for souls to be saved, and do your part by witnessing to lost souls as well. Let's pray together. Holy Father God, thank you so much for your Holy Spirit. Thank you so much for your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who made it possible for us to be here tonight. Thank you for being in our midst. Thank you for your Holy Word. Thank you for how you spoke to our hearts tonight. And Lord, I've already seen deep evidence of your moving in the hearts and lives of people. I've already seen an increase in boldness of telling people the truth. Not only here, but down in Georgia land, down in Florida land, up in Brooklyn where I was born, and in North Carolina, and even in Santa Barbara, I think they call it, out in California, and other places around the globe and around the world. And we hear from people every day, nearly, from around the world, saying amen, and giving many other comments about what you're doing. And we give you the glory, praise, and honor for the power of your Holy Word, and the power of your Holy Spirit, and the power of the gospel. Glorify your holy name. And Lord, I pray that you'll help everybody under the sound of my voice who names the name of Christ to confess their sins, their secret sins, their besetting sins, their weights. Turn from their evil ways. Stop the evil, dark foolishness that they're doing so that they can live the God-blessed life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray and for his sake. Amen. If you don't mind, allow me to sing with you. You may be seated. If you're with us tonight and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, allow me to show you how you can place your faith and trust in him for salvation from sin, the power of sin in this life, and the punishment of sin in hell to come. First, accept the fact, dear friend, that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Second, accept the fact that there is a penalty, there is a punishment for sin. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. We die because of our sins. The body goes to a grave. The soul goes to hell if we have not trusted Christ as Savior. Third, accept the fact that you are on the road to hell right now. You don't have to do anything else. You've done enough. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Hell is a real place, whether you believe it or not. And the saddest aspect of hell is not the torment and the torture and the weeping and wailing in hell, the gnashing of teeth, but the fact that once you go to hell, you can't get out. There's no second chance. There's no limbo. There's no purgatory. All of that is nothing but a lie. Once you go past the gates of hell, you can't come out. It's over forever. So hell is bad news. But I have some good news for you. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, for God so loved the world, that includes you, that he gave his only begotten Son, that's Jesus Christ, he was speaking of himself, that whosoever, that word whosoever means anybody at any time, believeth in him should not perish, that is perish in hell forever, but have everlasting life in heaven with God. So this is the good news. You don't have to go to hell forever because of your sins, because Jesus Christ suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose again. He paid your sin debt. And all you have to do is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and pray and ask Him to save your soul. And He will save your soul. For God's promise to you is found in Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 13, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Are you ready to be saved tonight? It's not hard. You don't have to give any money. You don't have enough money. You don't have to join a church. You don't have to be in a church. You say, well, I'm in a bar right now. That's okay. You can get saved right in the bar. I'm in a dorm room right now. You can get saved in the dorm room. I'm getting ready to go to the party. You can get saved before you go to the party. And maybe you can save some other, get some other saved. It's okay. I got saved in the dorm room. Just left, was getting ready to go to the club, but I got saved. I got intercepted by Jesus. And if Jesus can save me, He can save you. So believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says, and you shalt be saved. And pray the sinner's prayer with me. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase. And invite Christ to come into your heart to save your soul. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I have done evil in your sight. I have broken your Ten Commandments by taking your name in vain, by dishonoring and disobeying my parents, by lying, by stealing, by lusting and coveting other people and other people's things. For Jesus Christ's sake, please have mercy and grace upon me and forgive me of all of my sins. As I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, who suffered and bled and died on the cross for my sins, was buried and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul tonight. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past. Help me to turn from my old evil life and to follow you in the new life, Lord Jesus. For it is in your name I pray, and for your sake, amen. Dear friend of mine, if you believed in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose again, allow me to say congratulations to you on doing the most important thing in life, and that is trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet titled What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Dear friend, if you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, please email me at dw3@gospellightsociety.com and let us know. We have some free material that we want to send you. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Until next time, my beloved, God loves you. Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose again on the third day. We love you. and may God bless you real good, is my prayer.
I don't know why Jesus loved me.